The scripture reading today is from Acts 9, 1 through 22. It's about the conversion of Saul. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice, but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias," he answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hand on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. For several days he was with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues, saying, "He is the Son of God." All who heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem among those who invoked this name? And has he not come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priests?" Saul became increasingly more powerful and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Messiah. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. The scripture reading today is from Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. The book of Philippians was written by Paul, previously known as Saul, while he was in prison. He writes about imitating Christ's humility in this reading. "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, assuming human likeness. And being found in appearance as a human, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him even more highly and gave him the name that is above all every other name, so that at the name given to Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." The word of God for the people of God.
This year's Lenten sermon series, Rise Again, has finally come to an end. This morning, my sermon on Apostle Paul is the last one of the Lenten sermon series. I am sure you are familiar with Apostle Paul and later Saint Paul, who is one of the most famous and important key leaders in the Bible. I don't know about you, but when I was little, somehow I always thought that Saul himself changed his name to Paul because he met Jesus and he became a changed and different person, the different man. However, later I realized that Paul never changed his name. Actually, while Saul was his Jewish name in Hebrew, Paul was his Roman name in Greek. So, it was the same person with the same name in two different languages, after all. The main reason why he later used the Roman name Paul was that he was ministering to Gentiles, meaning non-Jews, so that he, as a missionary and evangelist, could share the good news of God's love in more friendly and effective setting among the Gentiles in those Gentile countries. Acts 13:9 also says, Saul, who is also called Paul. Anyhow, there are so many interesting things and stories about Apostle Paul, but let me share with you the 7 most interesting facts about Apostle Paul. Relax, it's a short list, very short list, and I am sure many of you have already heard about these facts. Number 1, dual citizenship. Having been born as a Jew, Paul was also a Roman citizen. Paul's dual citizenship was a special privilege that afforded him legal protection and advantages in the Roman Empire. Number 2, Pharisaic background. Before his conversion, Paul was a jealous Pharisee, known for his strict adherence to Jewish laws and traditions. Number 3, persecutor of Christians. Before meeting Jesus, Paul actively and viciously persecuted early Christians, even participating in the stoning of Stephen. Number 4, conversion experience. Paul's dramatic conversion occurred on the road of Damascus, where he had a vision of Jesus, which led him to embrace Christianity. By the way, here, Damascus is the modern-day capital of Syria. Number 5, apostle to the Gentiles. After his conversion, Paul became a key figure in spreading Christianity, particularly to non-Jewish people, earning him the title Apostle to the Gentiles. Number 6, influential and prolific author. Although Paul was not one of the original 12 apostles of Jesus, he was one of the most prolific contributors to the New Testament. Paul wrote 13 or 14 letters, commonly known as epistles, that are part of the New Testament. The authorship of the book of Hebrews is still debated. 13 or 14 out of 27 books in the Bible, that's about 50% of the entire New Testament. That's amazing. That's why Paul is among the most influential writers in Christianity. Number 7, martyrdom in Rome. Christian tradition holds that Paul was martyred in Rome under Emperor Nero, though the exact details of his death are debated. Therefore, based on these facts, more information, historical background, and context, his pastoral letters, theological perspectives, and proclamations, there are just so many insightful spiritual lessons that we can share and learn. However, I'd like to emphasize only one point that can highlight how God transformed his life from a vicious persecutor of Christians to the most ardent defender of Christianity, especially with this year's Our Lenten Journey theme of Rise Again. My point is based on this morning's Paul's letter to the Philippians chapter 2. Simply is embrace the same mind of Christ. This morning's Philippians passage is also one of the scriptures for Palm/Passion Sunday, according to the Common Lectionary. It's a beautiful and well-known poem that begins with verse 5. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. This Philippians passage is entitled as Imitating Christ's Humility. Yes, Paul urges his readers to embrace the same mind of Christ. So its life application is not only for the early Christians in Philippi, but also for today's all Christians. By the way, Philippi is located today in northern eastern Greece, near the city of Kavala. Anyhow, I believe this passage, based on Paul's conversion experience, is an astounding reflection and confession of his transformation through the encounter of the risen Christ on the road to Damascus, as written in the book of Acts. Interestingly, this story of Paul's conversion, the same story, is recounted 3 times throughout in the book of Acts. For Paul, it must be the most life-changing, transformative experience in his entire life ever. This encounter with Jesus and the 3 days of period without any eyesight led to a complete and total transformation in Paul's heart and mind, and eventually in his beliefs and his life. Verse 9, for 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Again, the Bible number 3 appears here. Remember the sign of Jonah? 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a fish. Yes, the same biblical number 3. And Jesus rose again after how many days? 3 days. Again, the number 3. So we all know that we believe in one God and three persons, the Father, the Son of Christ, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. We call this Trinity. Our God is triune God. Yes, traditionally, the number 3, especially from the Bible, generally represents a God's perfect number, which signifies complete transition and perfect transformation from death to life, from old life to new life, from ashes to renewal, from despair to hope. Apostle Paul's personal and supernatural experience of encountering with the risen Christ and the 3 days of being blind beyond his control or expectation indeed helped him to become a new person, a new man of God, a new instrument of God's love. In Acts 2:17, Ananias, who had been sent by God to Paul by saying, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, it sure was an amazing and crucial moment of assuring Paul as an anointed and appointed leader by God. Then what happened? Verse 18, and immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized. All these Paul's unexpected and uncomfortable ordeals eventually made him to be stronger and more courageous, so that he was able to commit himself to Christ and to be baptized. Yes, throughout his conversion experience and baptism, God helped Paul to embrace the same mind of Christ. Being baptized was the first act of Paul's dedication before embarking on his mission journeys. In this Philippians passage, his newly tempered faith is reflected, and he desires to invite others to follow his example. And then Paul writes, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus." How did Paul embrace and apply the new same mind of Christ in his new life? First of all, just as Jesus did, Paul emptied himself. Paul proclaims again in the same letter to the Philippians, "I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ." Unless you empty out everything first from yourself, you cannot possibly fill it with any new thing, not to mention the mind of Christ. Second, Paul also humbled himself. This message is aligned with James, the brother of Jesus. James writes, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." Then finally, Paul proclaims that every knee should bend and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. My brothers and sisters in Christ, as we are entering into the final week of Lent, the Holy Week, toward the glorious Easter, let us remind ourselves that we are called to embrace the same mind of Christ. Just as Paul's sincere yet serious appeals to us, let us empty ourselves. Let us humble ourselves, and let us confess that Jesus is Lord. Furthermore, we are called to share God's love with everyone, not only in this local community, but also in the global community across the world. That was exactly apostle slash missionary slash evangelist Paul did for the rest of his lifetime. Yes, his life was truly transformed from a vicious persecutor of Christians to the most ardent defender of Christianity in the whole world. And Paul will be forever remembered as Saint Paul. My friends in Christ, God even changed from such an evil and wicked man to one of the most faithful and sincere servant leaders of Christ. Of course, just as Jesus declaims with God, nothing is impossible. And yes, God's grace is powerful enough to change your life, your own life as well. So never underestimate the power of God's grace to transform your life. You can rise again too. No matter what kind of insane or horrible situations you are going through these days, you can be victorious. No matter how much you are overwhelmed by all kinds of unexpected challenges, fears, and frustrations, Jesus emptied himself, humbled himself, because he loves you now and forever. Apostle Paul also emptied himself, humbled himself, and filled himself with the Holy Spirit, who empowered him for the rest of his missions to the whole world beyond his own background and comfort, because he wanted to share God's love in Christ with you and everyone. Yes, you can embrace the same mind of Christ by emptying yourself and by humbling yourself and by being filled with the Holy Spirit, so that you can confess and proclaim to the world that Christ Jesus is Lord, Savior, and Master of your life. As we observe today as Palm Sunday, we can imagine how excitedly and joyfully the crowd welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem by shouting, "Hosanna," which means "save us." Many of the crowd had been already preoccupied with so many of their own desires, expectations, and agenda that sadly, their hearts and minds were not capable of being emptied. Their hearts was too full to be emptied. In that sense, they were so obsessed with their own earthly things that they could not understand the way of the cross of Jesus. They could not understand the intention and purpose of Jesus' establishment of the heavenly kingdom on this earth. Sadly, they only demanded an earthly, physical, and visible kingdom with power and authority. So when their earthly desires were fading, and when they were becoming disappointed, they turned into extreme and violent mobs, shouting out, "Crucify him." And we know the rest of the story. And this passion story, the story of God's Christ suffering, will continue Good Friday. My brothers and sisters in Christ, may God's steadfast love and the Holy Spirit's empowerment be upon you all as you are walking into Holy Week toward the Resurrection Sunday, the Easter. May you embrace the same mind of Christ. I would like to conclude my sermon with a testimony and witness of Apostle Paul focusing on his own rising again. It's from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 10 through 14. Now his grace is revealed through the appearance of our Savior, Christ Jesus. He destroyed death and brought life and immortality into clear focus through the good news. I was appointed a messenger, apostle, and teacher of this good news. This is why I am suffering the way I do. But I am not ashamed. I know the one in whom I've placed my trust. I am convinced that God is powerful enough to protect what he has placed in my trust until that day. Hold on to the pattern of a sound teaching that you heard from me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Protect this good thing that has been placed in your trust through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Thanks be to God. Amen.